Bobby Ann Cox, welcome to Planet Waves FM. Thank you for taking the time out during this busy week to speak with our listeners.
Yes, thank you for having me, Eric.
So I saw you speak on December 4th, videotaped you. We'll include that presentation. What I loved about your approach is that the world right now is like going insane with running helter-skelter and people not having any clue what to prioritize, and a lot of kind of needless chaos and panic. And your approach has been an entirely practical approach to the situations that you've been confronted with. That was my takeaway.
Yeah, I am definitely trying to keep it organized and keep everybody moving forward in the right direction. I think you're right that there is a lot of confusion. There's a lot of people kind of just scattering all over the place, trying to play defense, really, is how I see it. So I agree with you on that point. But, you know, I don't think we need to be on the defense at this point. You know, we're a year and a half or so into this whole COVID thing. And how I see it is the government is using it as a wonderful excuse to really control people and try and get everybody under their thumb, so to speak. And, you know, they're doing it many different ways from many different angles. They're affecting people's personal lives. They're affecting their children's lives. They're affecting people's livelihoods and their workplace. And it's enough is enough is what people are saying now. And, you know, instead of being on the defense and just trying to, you know, deflect what they're throwing at people, it's time to go on the offense and to put the government and their bureaucratic agencies back in place. They've stepped over the line one too many times, and now people are putting them back in their place.
Yeah, some would say that's been the whole point of this exercise, that it's had nothing to do with taking care of anybody's health. That this, if you start reading Agenda 21 and Klaus Schwab and all that stuff, but all that said, for most people, this is a thing that happened to us, not that it was done to us, but then it became a thing that kept getting done to us, even if it just happened to happen naturally, you know, bat soup, right? Somebody ate some bat soup and then oopsie daisy.
Yeah. Well, I think it, you know, as I say to people when I'm discussing this topic, it doesn't really matter. The science doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter where did COVID come from and how did it get out and was it man-made or was it from a bat and what, you know, did they purposely let it out? It doesn't really matter, because what has happened is that it's been used as a tool to really suppress people. And it's not necessary. I mean, you don't even need to look at the science or read any, whatever you mentioned, Agenda, you know, 21 or whatever it is. You don't even have to,
or anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you don't even have to look at that stuff. And quite frankly, I haven't really. You just need common sense. You just need a basic understanding of how our Constitution works to know that one person, and in our case, since we're in New York, that person would be the governor. You know, one person doesn't get to tell millions of other people what to do. That's not how our government was set up almost 250 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was set up that we get to pick our representatives who represent us in the government. And that's what we do when we go to the voting polls, right? We pick who we want to represent us. And then those people together in the legislature make laws. And when you have the executive branch, which is the one person, and in our case, that's Governor Hochul, which is New York State's governor as of August, You know, when you have one person trying to tell millions of New Yorkers what to do, it just, right there, a bell goes off in your head, right? And you think, wait a minute, we're not a monarchy. Mm-hmm. We're not, this isn't how it's supposed to work. And the executive branch doesn't make law. Mm-hmm. And when the executive branch tries to issue a mandate, as they like to call them, if they're not following precisely the process that's laid out for that type of thing, then they're overstepping and they're breaking their oath, mm-hmm. as a politician to uphold the Constitution, because once they overstep and they go into an area that they're not supposed to, so in this case it's Governor Hochul trying to make laws when she's not authorized to make laws, that's where you say, nope, absolutely not. Go back into your corner, stay where you're supposed to stay, and you're not supposed to come into where either the courts or where the legislature has authority, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the essence of separation of powers. And we have mm-hmm. to keep that going. We can't let these politicians just do whatever they want.
Well, people would say, yeah, but it's an emergency. Of course we have to. You know, when there's a fire on your street, the fire department does its thing. Isn't that just like this?
Well, you know what? Even in an emergency, and the Supreme Court of the United States has said, especially in an emergency, the Constitution is not suspended. So you don't get to take away people's rights and trample on the Constitution just because it's an emergency. Now, is it an emergency now in December 2021 when this has been around in our country and in our state since March of 2020?
Oh, well,
is it
before,
an emergency?
Well, before, if you believe what the people who go for this story say, oh, it's been going on since the fall of 19 or before.
Right, but
years.
I'm just saying in New York, you know, that all of a sudden the government in New York is telling us what to do. Hey, mm-hmm. stay home. Hey, close your business. Hey, you can't go to school. You know, that really started
in March. No Thanksgiving dinner.
Right. That all started in March of 2020. So mm-hmm. we're talking about, you know, over a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. So where's the emergency now? Mm-hmm. Where is the emergency in December of 2021? You know, I'm located in Westchester County, and our county executive about a week or two ago decided to declare an emergency state in this county because of the Omicron variant of COVID-19, which, according to the doctors who discovered it, which apparently was in Africa, it is very similar to like a cold, like that type of a coronavirus. And so I'd like to know from George Latimer, who's the county executive for Westchester County, where is the emergency? I read that you might see an increase in number of cases with this variant, but you're seeing a decrease in the number of hospitalizations with this variant. And they've accredited nobody's death thus far to this variant. So you tell me where the emergency is. You know, they want to declare an emergency. Why? Because they want to give themselves extra powers?
Oh, they would never do that.
Right.
I kind of do what you do. I deal with bad people. I'm amazed how much people believe bad people. You know what I mean?
Well, it's
they project
it's
their goodness
that,
and wholesomeness.
It's more that, look, if we look at history, you know, world history. I'm not just talking about in New York State or in the United States of America. Generally speaking, if you look at history on a global level, I'm still looking to try and find a time when a government took power from the people and then voluntarily gave it back. I have not found that yet in history. Yeah. if one of your listeners knows, I'd love for them to write into your show and send you a message and let us know. It's really very obvious. Governments are going to take power from people and not give it back until it's demanded back. Mm-hmm. And that's really the essence of what we need to do and what we are doing in New York State right now with this movement and with this organization, Uniting New York State. It's very potent. It's people, it's citizens, it's voters that are standing up and saying, absolutely not. I am not going to give you all of this power now that you took from me. Now you're going to give it back to us because the Constitution is clear. We, the people, rule our country, rule our states. It is not these, you know, elected few or selected few. And in the case of Hochul, you know, Governor Hochul in New York, she's not even elected. You know, she was appointed because, you know, Governor Cuomo stepped down. So Nobody went to the voting polls and said, yes, I want this woman to be my governor, right?
No, she almost seems like a Dan Quayle kind of insurance against getting rid of Cuomo because she's such a bubblehead that nobody would ever even want to have her as governor. But apparently it didn't happen that way. So she's now governor.
Yeah, she is. And what she did day one when she took office in August, 4 months ago now, was say, okay, everybody's got to wear, all children, you have to wear a mask in school. Mask up. You know, she didn't have any authority to do that.
No.
She's really just ruling by edict, and she's not following the Procedure Act, and she's not following the Constitution. So
there's a thing called the Procedure Act?
Yes. Yes, and she's supposed to, and this latest one that we had December 10th, she said, oh, now everybody, it's an emergency.
There's no executive order.
Yeah, it's an emergency. Everybody in New York has to wear a mask if you go inside, or you have to show your COVID-19 vaccine passport, right? So she basically, by herself, again, executive branch can't do this, by herself, she made up a we'll call it a law, or a mandate, whatever you want to call it. She just made it up. She said, you're going to get fined $1,000 if you don't listen to what I'm saying. And you can't do that. The executive branch can't do that. That making laws like that, that is left to the legislature. And those are our representatives in Albany, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we have a House, it's kind of like Congress. In Congress, there's a House of Representatives and a Senate. And then in New York State, we have also a Senate. And then our House of Representatives is called the Assembly. So our Assembly people and our senators, our state senators, are who represent us in Albany. And that's who has the power to pass a law that would say, oh, everybody has to wear a mask, whatever, whatever. Now, I'm not saying that would be constitutional. I'm not saying you couldn't challenge that law if they passed the law. I'm just saying that's the section of our government that has the power to do that, not the executive.
Right. Yeah. So the thing is, this is a very rational analysis, right? And you have to care about these things. I do. I'm easy to get my attention on this. But most people are listening to their fear. And they're listening to the seemingly wholly owned by pharma corporate media pumping out constant nonstop propaganda of deaths and cases and how horrible this all is, and they can't see over their own teacup.
Right. Well, that's, you know, you make a great point there, because if people follow the money, I think they're going to have some interesting revelations and answers to their questions, because follow the money. Where is all of this coming from? You know, parents across not just New York, but across the country are fighting their local school boards, and the school boards are getting funding from up above, and the funding is attached to well, hey, we'll give you this money, but you have to use all of these COVID-19 restrictions that we are telling you to use if you want our money. You know, you've got a mask, you've got to separate the kids 6 feet here, everyone's got to get the COVID-19 shot, and blah, 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 blah. You know, there are all these, let's say, all of these requirements that are attached to the money. So it you make a really good point. People should take the time and try and follow that money trail and see where it leads back to, because mm-hmm. Big Pharma is the largest lobby industry we have in our country by far. Big Pharma in, I think it was 2019, spent over $300 million lobbying Congress.
Yeah.
That's just one industry, right? That's mm-hmm. just Big Pharma. Then you've got in second place is the insurance industry, and they spent another $150 million lobbying Congress. So all of this money, and then you've got, you know, there's plenty of other industries that lobby. So you've got all of this money that's being pumped into our Congress people, and you wonder why we have some horrific laws. Like in the 1980s, there was a law that was passed that gave complete immunity to pharmaceutical companies. So they don't have to, you know, if you're injured by one of their vaccines, so like in this case, if you take the COVID-19 shot and you're injured, you can't go and sue Pfizer or Moderna or, you know, whoever made it. You can't go and sue them and say, hey, your product caused me injury and I should be compensated for that. You know, Congress made a law that says you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, that's a clear indication that those members of Congress that passed that law and all the ones subsequently who haven't overturned that law are... What? Mm-hmm. Who are they looking out for? Who are they looking out for?
Now, speaking of the act, the Childhood Injury Vaccine Prevention Act, whatever the hell it was called, that included a provision for a database to report vaccine injuries. This vaccine database is VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Events Response System, and people slam it because it's a self-reporting system. But the problem is that right now, there have been more than double the reported deaths in 1 year of the COVID vaccine from just that product group, more than double all 30 years previously for all products for deaths. How is there not some regulatory switch that goes off when there's a 60-fold increase in deaths from 1 year to the next?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that question, but this is the whole issue that, you know, I have a channel, an online channel that I do. It's currently hosted on Rumble, rumble.com. And in one of my shows, I interviewed a pathologist from Alberta, Canada. And, you know, he makes a very good point that, you know, where is the discussion? You don't see that typical discussion going on today or the past year and a half or 20 months, whatever it's been, 18 months. You don't see that typical back and forth discussion that doctors and scientists would normally have in a situation where we have a new disease. You know, how to treat it? What are the methods you can use? What's working? What's not? You know, all of this.
Does it exist?
Said, we don't see that with this. And he said, and it's for him as somebody who's been in the medical field his whole life, it's mind blowing to him because he's like, this is never happened before. This is what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. This is the scientific method. This is, you know, you have a hypothesis and you explore it and whatever. He said, but there's such censorship going on that you don't even see that happening with this. So, you know,
censorship and massive cancel culture, right? Fauci invents the guillotine. If you question the AIDS hypothesis, you get your head chopped off.
Well, yeah, censorship is very real. I started my online channel on YouTube originally. because, you know, at the time, this was a year and a half ago, you know, at the time, it was the place that most people went to get information. And I started on YouTube, and after the first few months, when my shows were catching on and people were understanding, here's this attorney and they're explaining the Constitution and which provision of the Constitution applies in this case, and, you know, and I started to get thousands and thousands, and then YouTube didn't like that, so they started to they call it shadow ban. They started to shadow ban me, where they, you don't know that they're doing it, mm-hmm. but they are banning people from seeing mm-hmm. your videos. And, you know, I went from getting thousands of views on a video to getting, like, you know, 45 views on a video. Mm. And they were slashing my number of subscribers, and they were, I would post a video, they would take it down within an hour or two. You know, it was really obvious what kind of censorship was going on. And I kind of just threw my hands up and said, you know what, you guys are really off the charts. I'm not going to waste my time mm-hmm. with you. And I moved over to Rumble, and Rumble hasn't, I have not seen that type of censorship with Rumble, but it's very disappointing, because, you know, that's just for me. Imagine these scientists and doctors that want to explore, want to have a discourse about, you know, early treatments for COVID-19 or best treatments for COVID-19 mm-hmm. or, you know, what's better.
Outright, you know, banned by Google. Banned. There's a set of rules I found that says exactly what you cannot and can't say. You cannot question the safety of the vaccine. You cannot endorse any alternative methods. It is pure emergency use authorization, full on wagons in a circle, defend the vaccine line.
Yeah. Well, it's the censorship is why we're here today.
Yes.
and I make this a point when I'm giving a speech. If people are very upset today because they feel like their freedoms and their rights have been trampled upon by the government and the bureaucrats, it's because they took away freedom of speech. If we still had freedom of speech in this country, we wouldn't be in this position right now mm-hmm. because the government and the bureaucrats would not be getting away with what they're getting away with, mm-hmm. but they got rid of freedom of speech. I mean, cancel culture, what, like you mentioned before, that's an excellent example of how that's censorship. That's hindrance of freedom of speech. People are afraid to speak out and say something because they're afraid they might lose their job, or if they own a business, they might lose their customers, or mm-hmm. they might lose their friends. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very upsetting to see that the greatest country in the world has now had the freedom of speech so severely attacked and suppressed. And that's why, hey, that's number one in the Bill of Rights. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? It's number one for a reason.
But the
it's
workaround,
the most important.
The workaround has been Pfizer sponsors everything. Bill Gates, for example, gave $25 million to the Guardian newspaper in the UK, among the long list of publications and ProPublicas and NPRs and everybody sponsored by Gates. Well, they know which side their bread is buttered on. And so it's been largely, as has, you know, the legislatures have been bought out by all the Citizens United money. Money, you know, corporations are free people and money is speech. And then that money is also going places like, I mean, $25 million to The Guardian. I mean, come on. And they're hitting me up for subscriptions. They should be paying me to read the magazine.
I don't know.
Of free speech on many levels. Who is Google? Google is Alphabet. They're invested in Big Pharma.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's, you know, I don't know the details on Gates and stuff. I really don't. I focus really mostly on helping New York get our New Yorkers get our freedoms back. But I do understand what you're saying, that there's a bigger global issue. You know, if Google is heavily invested in Big Pharma, then obviously Google wants Big Pharma to make a lot of money so that Google can make a lot of money. And, you know, mm-hmm. there's clearly, you know, a quid pro quo yeah. and an incentive there. Yeah. So I understand what you're saying, but to really get New Yorkers free again, we do need to stand up and tell our legislators what we want. And that's what I spend so much of my time doing, is letting people know, hey, look at these bills. Look at these proposed laws in New York.
Let's talk about one. So we have two victories to claim. A416 bit the dust.
Yes, supposedly, yes. Well, according to Perry, who is the bill's sponsor, yes, according to him, he is withdrawing it.
He's the guy from Brooklyn, right?
Yes, he is a New York, one of the New York City Assembly people, up in Albany, and he does represent a portion of New York City, and he is the one that sponsored this A416 bill, yeah. which is horrific.
Concentration camp. It's the concentration camp bill.
Yeah, and it's been around for a few years. It's actually it was not first proposed by him in 2021. No, I think
14
or
15.
That,
no, it's been lingering. I looked into its history. It's been hanging around at least 5 years.
Yes. Yes, it's a few years old. But it doesn't matter. It's still it's still very unconstitutional, in my opinion.
Yes. So that's the one. Know, let's talk about what that was. That's the one that said the governor can decree that you are a health risk, you Joe Blow, and I can put you in a medical facility or any other facility, essentially authorizing summary arrest on the pretext of having walked past someone with COVID.
Right.
Or PCR positive, right. housemate, and then they arrest everyone and take you to Buchenwald.
Yeah, you don't even need to. The language that I read in that proposed legislation was that you don't even need to actually be sick with something. Mm-hmm. It was just, if the government deems you a threat health-wise, whether or not you're infected with something, or you are or you aren't, they think you are.
They don't
you
like
might
you.
Be, you know, then they would have had the authority to, yes, to force you into a quarantine camp situation, which is, from what I understand, I don't know firsthand, but from what I understand, what is happening in places like Australia.
Howard Springs.
And Canada, mm-hmm. our neighbors to the north, it's just, in my opinion, a civil rights violation. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable somebody would even propose that yeah. in New York.
I couldn't believe it when I read it last year. My eyes were falling out of my head. I couldn't believe how horrific this was. The broad sweeping language. Groups of people, even if they don't know their names. So this, Perry has, we're told this is being, or has been, withdrawn.
Right. He made a public statement, you know, on his letterhead not too long ago, saying that he was withdrawing it from consideration. And, you know, I don't know, there was no real reason given. You know, he said it was because of conspiracy theorists and whatever. I'm not really sure how you can read that bill and not understand his perfect intent, right?
Well, but it was on the government website, so therefore it's a conspiracy theory.
Well, no, he
it's
was
the
saying,
guy that's Trump's guy in bed typing on Twitter. About that guy. No, well, this is right on the. This is a. Proposed legislation with the new language in green letters and the whole bit.
Yeah.
I looked at this thing. I could not imagine how people were not screaming about this. Screaming yeah. about it. And it was not popular to scream about it last year. It pissed people
well,
off to bring
year
this
is
up.
When, Yeah, last year was when I first heard about it. Was the end of 2020, I think it was. Yeah, the end of 2020 is when I first heard about it, and I thought, you have got to be kidding me that you would even have that notion in your mind. So those are the type of people that we have in our New York State legislature. And for anybody listening to your show that doesn't know about that proposed legislation, it's an eye-opening experience, and you really should get involved with just even take a look and see what some of these other ones are. Because now Perry said he was withdrawing it. I like to believe it's because there was a huge uproar amongst New Yorkers once they realized that this had been proposed by him, and that they started to email and phone call and write letters to him, you know, absolutely not, I don't think this is right. You know, I would like to think it was the pushback from New Yorkers, but I don't know. I mean, I also have heard that he's possibly up for an appointment position by Biden. So I don't know if I don't know if he thought that would hamper his chances, if he'd have to explain that to people. You know, I don't know. These are just things I've heard from other people. But whatever their reason, he has publicly stated he's going to withdraw it from consideration.
Okay, so yeah, and also it's not really going to go over like popcorn with a lot of legislators who might support it. It can easily, if the tide turns even slightly, can be used against people. Oh, you supported the concentration camp law? Okay, so another important one's been withdrawn, and that is the requirement for the quote-unquote COVID vaccine for having health insurance.
Right, so that was Assemblyman Burke. He had proposed, in essence, if a New Yorker doesn't have has not gotten the COVID-19 shot, and I don't, you know, however many boosters, who knows, that they would not be eligible for health insurance in New York, which, again, I understand the uproar from voters was so incredible, you know, the emails to his office, the phone calls to his office, the letters, that he ultimately withdrew it from consideration and made a statement that he was withdrawing it. So, I think it shows you that, number one, if you are not paying attention, and not just New Yorkers, I mean anybody in any state, if you're not paying attention to what the government is doing, we can find ourselves in a horrific position like we are right now. I mean, you know, I think a lot of us were asleep at the wheel for a long time, and now we've learned that the government needs to be babysat. You know, we can't just keep our heads in the sand and keep living our day after day. We have to see, what are they doing? What are they proposing? What are they thinking? Where are they going with this? And we have to be vocal. We have to tell them, no, absolutely not. No, we do not want that. You represent us. You work for us. You're supposed to listen and do the will of we the people.
Yep. We got to keep that conversation going. And it has to rise above the din of this phony panic. People do, you know, no one really knows anyone with COVID. I mean, something special, debilitating. You could say it, but it's no different than any other year. And yet people are panicking as if, some people, the ones who have their head up CNN all the time, are panicking. And so someone has to say, we must have a calm, and I guess that's you, calm discussion about this and consider the implications of what is going on, rather than just what we're being sold, what the promise is. Oh, this will keep you safe. You know, this is for your own good.
Right. Well, it's, again, it's not even about the science. I don't say COVID doesn't exist. I don't say COVID is nothing. I mean, I have had people very close to me affected by it. We've all kind of, had it and gotten through it, but some people get very sick. Some people die. Some people don't. It's not about that, though. It's, in my opinion, it's real. I do not think it's a made-up pretend thing. I mean, like I said, I've seen people suffer with it.
Well, Bobby Ann, so there's a problem with the test. And
well, no, but I don't want to go to the science because it's not about the science.
Well,
I'm
it
not
is,
a
though, because
scientist.
Everything, you don't have to be one. All you have to have read is the New York Times article last August that said that 90% of COVID positives aren't. Right in the New York Times.
I knew that
long before they got there. But how are they allowed to keep using a test to justify everything when the Wadsworth lab itself admits that it's blowing 90% false positives? That's a matter of public policy because that's the thing being used to justify the public policies. And to claim an emergency, no test has a 10% passing rate. So you can't say that it's 90% false positives, but 10% are valid, even if they are. What of these 90%, and why isn't this front and center? This is a policy question.
Right. Well,
this is not a scientific question. Everyone has acknowledged this.
Yeah, it's again, going back to the one-sided discussion. You can't have a one-sided discussion. Ever. Mm-hmm. If there is a one-sided discussion, it's a dictatorship. Whether you're talking to your spouse or you're talking to your child or you're talking to your boss or you're talking to a colleague that you're trying to make a business deal with, it doesn't really matter who you're interacting with. Generally speaking, in life, you have to have a two-way conversation, right? So that each side gets to express what they want to express. And in this instance, there's not another side to the story. So that goes back to the censorship issue that we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. But to go forward, what I am doing is going forward, I am trying to get these politicians back into their corners, so to speak, right? They're supposed to be, you're over in this corner, you're the executive branch. You're over in this corner, you're the legislative branch. And you're over in that corner, and you're the judicial branch. And they're not supposed to crisscross over. And when they do crisscross over, if the people don't stand up and say, no way, then they're just going to keep crisscrossing over. And and then what do we have? We have chaos. We have anarchy. We have nobody following laws that have been on the books forever. No one's upholding the Constitution. And you lose your law and order. And then you lose your society. Because what is a society without law and order, right? There's nothing there. So it all comes back to the people have to stand up and put the politicians back in their place, and we can't, and you know, I understand people have fears about doing that and getting involved. People reach out to me all the time. Hey, look, I can't do anything publicly, but you know, I want to help behind the scenes, right? So that's terrific, because even if you just sign up for our email newsletters every week, right? And even if you can't take an action, make a phone call, send an email, make an appointment to visit with your representative in Albany, even if you can't do those things because you don't have time or you're fearing retribution or whatever, hey, take that e-newsletter that you got from us and forward it on to your friends or your family or people you know that are like-minded, because maybe they have time to make a phone call or they have time to send an email or meet with their legislator in Albany. You know, it's a numbers game, and we need to have more New Yorkers with this like-minded attitude come together and take part. You know, mm-hmm. it's it's we're going to get to the finish line faster if more people are involved. That's mm-hmm. that's really the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just without you know putting too sharp of a point on this, argue for the need for some scientific literacy when there is a claim being made by the government to support all of its emergency measures that comes back to one device. Everything comes back to one device. And this happens to be the thing I've spent 2 years of my life investigating. So I pretty much know this as well as anyone does. And there is no part of this test that is not entirely based in fraud. If there's 20 stages to the polymerase chain reaction COVID test, I will show you the fraud at every single, and I don't mean minor fraud. I mean the intentional deception for a purpose of harming people. So I think we have to know this, and I think we have to hold their feet to the fire. When Wadsworth says that's 90% false positives, that must percolate back through public policy. Someone got them to admit that.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know the efficacy of the tests. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor.
And you don't need to be. Bobby, please, you do not need to be a doctor.
Right, but Eric, the whole point is that it when I say the science doesn't matter, it's because it doesn't matter because they're using it as even if there was a public health emergency, even if there was, you know, the plague that's going to kill, you know, hundreds of millions of people, you still don't get to form a dictatorship out of a constitutional republic. That A plus B does not equal C in that equation.
So I get you. So, we're on absolutely solid ground there that even in a worst case scenario, you still have some rights, and emergencies are temporary. They're not, right, by definition, a perpetual state of affairs.
Right, and you can't just take what you think is an emergency or make up an emergency. I mean, that's the definition of a dictator, mm-hmm, right? Somebody that's just going to keep themselves in a perpetual state of domination over other people, and that's what our Constitution forbids. Mm-hmm. And people don't maybe understand that, or people have, you know, forgotten their civics classes in school, and, you know, for the most part they've abolished a lot of civics classes in schools over the last couple decades, and those things need to be brought back in. People need to know what their rights are so that they can stand up for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, you shouldn't need to hire a lawyer to stand up for your rights. You should be able to stand up for your rights. You know, that is how our Constitution was drafted, that the people tell the government what to do, and the government is supposed to just be there to protect our rights. The government is not supposed to be there to tell us what to do. And I think people are losing sight of that because we have a generation now that was not taught proper civics, in my opinion. The federal government did not create the states. The states created the federal government. And everybody needs to remember that, because the way the Constitution is written is that if a power is not specifically delegated to the federal government, it remains with the states and the people. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, the reason our country became a country and broke away from England was because the colonists were so sick and tired of what they considered tyranny coming from the king in England. They felt like they had no voice, they had no representation, they were getting taxed. The guy over, you know, across the ocean didn't even know what life was like in the colonies, so how could he possibly rule over those people? That was the sentiment back in 1770s, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why they stood up and said, no more. No, you're not representing us. You don't know what we need, what we want, what life is like here. And that's why they wanted to break away and start their own country. So if you look at our current situation in that context, and you look at our Constitution and what it says in that context, you understand very clearly that the Constitution was written so that the power stayed with the people, and then your state is your most local form of government. The federal government doesn't matter where it is, whether the capital's in New York or the capital's in California or the capital's in Washington, D.C., it doesn't matter where that is. The federal government is not supposed to tell people in their individual states, oh, you have to put a mask on your face to walk inside a building. You know, those are things reserved for the states, not for the federal government. So mm-hmm. people need to really come back to the Constitution and their civics classes and realize, wait a minute, this is upside down. The federal government's trying to tell me, you know, not just how to live my life, but how my child should live their life. And, you know, they're trying to take away my livelihood. And again, it's all overreach. It's overstepping. And mm-hmm. so the people need to stand up and say, no more overstepping. Sorry, you guys are going to go back in your corner now.
Can we talk about Jacobson for a second? And then the next big change on that was the Nuremberg Code. Jacobson's a 1905 decision that allows the state to mandate a vaccine on penalty of a $5 fine.
Right.
And that's right. All they've got in terms of vaccine mandate. Not that you're excommunicated, lose your job, lose your life, cannot eat, or are thrown into jail, but rather a $5 fine.
Right. So Jacobson versus Massachusetts is a very misunderstood Supreme Court decision. It was, as you said, 1905. So it was, you know, over 100 years ago.
Several countries ago. Yeah.
And the Supreme Court, basically, if you read the decision, what it says is the Supreme Court is not going to make a law that isn't there. And it told them, Jacobson and Massachusetts, to look at the state law, right? So the other thing that people get really confused about with Jacobson is that it was a state law. It was not a federal law. Mm-hmm. So there was not, in 1905 or 1900 or whatever, there was not a federal law that said you have to take this vaccine or you pay a $5 fine. It was Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. It was a state law. So the question before the Supreme Court was, well, is it legal? Like, is that law okay or not? And they said it was okay. They didn't say it was okay that a state can force its citizens to take a vaccine. It said the law as written in Massachusetts at the time was either you take it or you pay this $5 fine. And that's what they said was legal.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't give, I think people either purposely or maybe not purposely, maybe it's unintentional, but I think they twist Jacobson to fit their agenda and to fit their rhetoric. Jacobson did not say the federal government gets to tell you that you have to take a drug. That's not what it said.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the other thing is, you know, if you want to differentiate, the vaccine in the Jacobson case was already 100 years old. They had been using that vaccine for 100 years. It, very different than today's standard where this vaccine just came out last year.
Mm-hmm. And Jacobson you know. Had a vaccine injury. He wasn't just some kind of a purist. He had been hurt previously.
Yes, I did read that in the case that he had a reaction at some point beforehand. But that's neither here nor there. Again, it's looking at what was the ruling? They said that they upheld the law. They said the law was fair.
It's fair, but let's look at the law. The law said you have to take the shot or you get a $5 fine. It didn't say it was fair to throw you on the street or to take your home.
Right. And it also said in a time of emergency, like in an outbreak, right? Because that's the whole issue, was that there was an outbreak, and that's why they said everybody here has to do this or pay a fine, because mm-hmm. there was an outbreak, you know, of a deadly disease. You can make differentiations between these two cases, but the bottom line is people need to stop twisting it. It didn't say the federal government is allowed to make you take a drug. That's not what it said, and I
never insinuated that, nor did I think it. And most people I know don't think that. They understand the Supreme Court calls fair or foul on a state law most of the time. That's what's going on, and some federal laws.
Yeah, but it needs to be. You need to look at that. State law.
Right.
That's really what Jacobson says.
And I'm saying it doesn't allow for much. And they're pushing the current law of the land is a state can make a law that says you take the shot or get a $5 fine. And it should go no further than that. And it's gone a lot further than that. The states are doing all kinds of draconian things.
Yeah.
I.e., you can't go out to a restaurant in New York City. That's a huge imposition on people.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, and that's why I'm saying I think a lot of people are twisting Jacobson, or they're just confused by it because they don't understand the real, mm-hmm. you know, underlying issues that were involved. But it's there are a lot of moving parts, and I think a lot of New Yorkers. Are really kind of over the overbearing government restrictions at this point. And we saw that with more than half the counties in New York State last week have said that they're not going to enforce or support Governor Hochul's latest edict.
The phony mask mandate?
Yeah, well, she did not sign an executive order.
Mm-hmm.
That was apparent after the first couple days when nobody could find the executive order.
No photo op.
You know, yeah. But she did go through the Department of Health, which, again, the procedure was incorrect. And I do have a couple colleagues that have lawsuits going on right now against the state on these points. But it's really quite... It's as an attorney, it's quite fascinating to see how far these politicians are willing to push the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
It's very surprising to me.
Well, they know that their public is compromised. I'm surprised that Citizens United is not a bigger topic of conversation, because a lot of these politicians are owned. And their money's not coming, their campaign dollars are not coming from personal contributions. It's coming from lobbying money. And by which I mean donations, which are now unlimited by political action committees. And I think I went back and re-listened to the Keith Olbermann special comment from 2010. He really dismantles it brilliantly. And what he says at the end is, you know, maybe you think you can stand up to this, but how are you going to do that? What's going to stop anyone from just buying out whomever? And we forgot that, you know, that went down the memory hole, but that's the world that we live in today.
Yeah. Right. Everything's a rabbit hole, it seems, right?
Well, people forget, and digital swallows things. You can go fish it out, but then it's like one more thing fished out of archive.org. But the consciousness of it is just everything just disappears into the next thing. But at the time, Citizens United was huge. It was mind-blowing that the court could go so far as to actually declare something like Moderna a human being with unlimited rights.
Yeah.
I wonder where
yeah.
your rights went. Well, Moderna has them now.
Yeah, but that's right. And this is what I'm saying is that people, you know, the organization that I'm involved with is Uniting New York State. And we really, I think people should take a minute or two, you know, check out the website and sign up for the e-newsletters. They come out once a week, sometimes twice a week if there's a lot happening. But it really helps people understand what's going on in New York.
To stay in touch.
Bills that
yes.
are proposed in the legislature. You know, what's Hochul's latest edict? You know, is it even legal? You know, those kinds of things. And it calls people to action. And, you know, there are action committees. There's a legislative action committee. There's a social media action committee. There's a fundraising action committee. You know, there are these groups or these committees that people that really want to get involved because they're upset about this or they're, you know, maybe going to lose their job and they want to do something. You know, people want to feel empowered right now. And this is a great way to do it because you're volunteering your time with other people that think the same way that you do. And, you know, together there's strength in numbers. Mm-hmm. So, any of your listeners that want to do something and get involved or just stay in the loop
mm-hmm.
And share our e-newsletter. Yeah,
I'll promote that. I'll promote that from the program. We'll put
yeah,
a direct.
I'll tidy.
I'll tidy that with your office tomorrow and Friday and make sure all the links are correct. And there are people who are looking for some way to be involved. I think between the number of people being hurt by this deadly injection and the number being imposed upon by these mandates and just people being plain sick of something where they don't ever see an end in sight and don't really see the problem. I think it's a minority now who are making the most noise. You know, if they don't get the shot, then shoot them, ban everyone from everywhere. This is not a majority. It is a few gung-ho people who are imposing their fears on others.
Yeah, well, the whole point of uniting New York State is that your rights are your rights, and your rights include having the choice of what medications or what drugs you want to take. You know, it's not about, you know, bashing COVID-19 or bashing the COVID-19 vaccine or it's really about the government's overstepping. They have to go back into their corner and stay there. And this is what we're doing to achieve that goal. If somebody wants to take the COVID-19 shot or take five of them, that's their right. And they should be able to do that. And that is the whole point, because government shouldn't tell people that they have to do that or that they can't do that.
But it's not, you know, someone's right to offer you a drink that is then spiked with roofie and you don't know it. So if you're being offered something that you have been told is unequivocally safe and necessary, and then you take it and you're hurt, that's not a free act.
Well, a lot of people participate in drug trials, which are, you know, when these few companies that do make the COVID-19 shot, when they first started doing this a year or whatever ago, and they asked for people to participate in trials, people did, and people do. People do that all the time with medications and drugs that are, you know, not quote unquote proven to be safe. So, you know, that's one issue, but like I said, everybody should have the right to choose. You want to participate in a drug trial? Go ahead. You want to participate you don't want to participate, that's fine.
I don't mean the trial. I don't mean the trial, but there are also representations that are made during the trial. I mean, a lot, when it comes down to a contractual agreement like that, you need to be proceeding with informed consent at every stage of whether it's a drug trial or it's a drug that's been put on the market, or in this case, combination. People don't know they're taking part in a drug trial. They're just seeing blanket assurances of safety coming from the mouth of every politician. And they're going along with it. But I know enough about fraud law to know this is fraudulent misrepresentation. It's failure to warn. It is concealment.
Yeah. So I don't go down that rabbit hole, as you say. I am all about the right to choose how you and your doctor think a medicine or a drug or a vaccine is going to work for you best. But I see that we're over an hour right now, and unfortunately I do have another interview coming up. So I really appreciate the time and that you and your listeners have given. Are there any last things that you want to cover? But I'm sorry to go, but it has been an hour, and I can't.
Given a second hour, I would develop the issue of informed consent with you and what that really is about. But I have additional time to breathe some fire on that issue. I truly appreciate the work you're doing, and we will share your newsletter and your presentation from Poughkeepsie on the 4th. I thought it was a very refreshing talk that I will offer to my listeners. And thank you for taking the time today. And perhaps I'll see you on the 5th up in Albany. I don't know if you're going to be able to make it, but...
Yes. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, and I appreciate your listeners. And you can happily, I'll share the website. You can put it right into your comments and your videos, but it's Uniting New York State, so unitingnys.com. And people can get lots of information there and hopefully get involved.
Great.
So,
Bobby Ann, thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.